Today, as I say, we are celebrating Candlemas. It arrives without fuss, no angels sing, no star points the way. A young couple walk into the temple carrying a child and a pair of birds. It feels almost ordinary, and that's the point. The story has moved from the stable to sanctuary, from wonder whispered at night to the routines of daylight. God is not making a scene. God is being carried. Christmas is beginning to lose its grip on us now. The carols are quieter. The crib has been packed away. And yet today we light candles, because Candlemas reminds us that the light of Christ does not end when the decorations come down. It moves. It goes with us. But before it's carried into the world, it is first noticed. Mary and Joseph come to the temple according to the law, not as a performance of holiness, but as a way of belonging. This is how you show up, how you place yourself inside a shared story when life feels fragile and resources are thin. They bring what they can afford, two birds, enough. The temple does not demand more than that, and neither does God. The drama of Candlemas is not in what happens, but in who notices. The temple is busy. People pass through every day. Babies are bought and blessed. But Simeon notices, not because something shines or sparkles, but because he has learnt the long art of waiting. Let's listen to Simeon.
Simeon speaks. I have learned the long art of waiting, not the restless kind that watches the door, but the patient kind that learns the weight of silence, that trusts God, does not hurry, because love is never late. Day after day I have stood in this place, hands empty, eyes open, heart trained to notice. Not every moment carries meaning, but I learn not to rush past the ones that do. And then today, not with thunder, not with angels, but with footsteps, a young couple, a tired love, a small child, small enough to miss. They brought what they could afford, enough. God has always worked well with enough. When they placed him in my arms, I did not understand everything, but I recognized him. Salvation. God's love is like that. It is not seized, it is received. My eyes have seen what my life has been waiting for. Not an answer, but a presence. Not a victory, but a light. Warm, real, alive. This light does not belong to me. It cannot be locked in stone walls or guarded by certainty. It will widen. It will disturb. It will reveal what we hide and heal what we dare to name. I see now that love will cost his mother dearly. Light always does, but it will not abandon her. I am at peace, not because everything is resolved, but because God has kept faith. Now I can rest. The waiting has not been wasted. The promise has arrived quietly and completely enough.
When Simeon says, "My eyes have seen your salvation," he's not claiming certainty or mastery. He's describing recognition. Salvation is not an idea to be argued for, but a presence encountered. Something suddenly makes sense. Hope takes on weight, warmth, a face. Salvation is seen long before it is explained. And Simeon insists that this light is for everyone, not fenced in, not guarded, not owned. It widens as it is shared. Nearby stands Anna, another watcher, another life shaped by years of prayer and unanswered questions. She does not keep her hope private.
I have lived long enough to know that hope does not shout. It waits. It learns the shape of grief and refuses to let it have the final word. I have prayed through the years that felt empty, through days when the answer did not come, and nights when the silence stayed. I did not leave. I stayed close to the place where God might pass by. People think faith makes you small, makes you quiet. They are wrong. It gives you lungs. It teaches you when to speak. When I saw him, I did not need persuading. My body knew before my mind did. This is what I have been waiting for. Not an escape from the world, but its healing. He is small, and that is how I know I recognize God. God has always trusted small beginnings, seeds, wombs, whispers, a child carried by hope worn parents. So I spoke to anyone who would listen. I would not keep this to myself. I spoke of freedom, not the loud kind that breaks things, but the deep kind that restores. I spoke of a city that could breathe again, of lives that might yet be gathered back together. Waiting taught me this. Hope hoarded becomes brittle. Hope spoken becomes light. I have watched the years pass and learned that God is faithful even when the world is not. What we wait for does not always come how we expect, does not always come how we expect. But when it does, it is enough to set us talking. I will keep speaking, not because everything is finished, but because something has begun, and I will not be silent about a light like this.
But Candlemas does not remain gentle for long. Simeon speaks of falling and rising, of inner thoughts being revealed. Light does not flatter. It warms, but it also exposes. It unsettles what we would rather keep comfortable. It shows us things as they are.
I did not come here expecting a moment. I came because this is what you do. You show up. You carry what you have been given. You trust that God meets you somewhere between duty and love. I brought my child, I brought my tired body, I brought two birds, all we could afford, enough. I have learned that God often hides inside the ordinary, in feeding and walking, in waiting your turn, in doing the next faithful thing. When the old man took him from my arms, I let him go, just for a moment. Love always asks that of you. His words were gentle until they were not. Light, he said, salvation, and then a sword. I did not argue. I did not ask him to soften it. Truth does not need protecting. I know already that love will wound me. It has begun to. Every time I look at him, I know I cannot keep him. This child will not belong to me forever. He will belong to God and to the world God loves. So I will treasure what I can. I will hold what is given today. I will not borrow sorrow from tomorrow. If there is a sword, I will not turn away from it. I will stand where love asks me to stand. I will learn, slowly, that light is not something you keep safe. It is something you let go into the world. And when it costs me, I will remember this. God trusted me to carry love for a while.
Thank you. Mary hears what many of us would rather not. That love will wound her. That faith will not keep her safe from grief. Candlemas does not offer sentimentality. It tells the truth. To love deeply is to risk being pierced. And then, just as gentle as it began, the story closes. The family goes home. The child grows. No explanation of how it will unfold. No attempt to control the light that has been received. Life resumes, changed only by being quietly blessed. The quiet ending matters. Because Candlemas teaches us that light is not given to dazzle or dominate, but to accompany. It is meant for ordinary days and unfinished lives. Let's pray. God of quiet faithfulness, you come to us not with noise or spectacle, but in the ordinary moments we might easily miss. Like Simeon, teach us to wait without fear. Like Anna, teach us to watch with hope. Open our eyes to recognize your light, where it is small, fragile, and gently present. Give us patience to notice and courage to respond. As we hold this story in our hearts, prepare us for what comes next. May your light rest with us now and lead us forward. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Simeon, Anna, and Mary. Bless you. Thank you. That certainly brought the story really alive to me this morning. Thank you.